This Father's Day, when you ship UPS Air at the UPS store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost. It's like the father of all shipping services. It shows up to the airport way too early, just to play it safe. It's overprotective about all the things that truly matter, and it's always prompt, especially to be with family. Make it your first choice to celebrate your dad. Ship UPS Air with our money-back guarantee, exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Visit the upsstore.com/airshipping for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
This is one of the most downright disturbing things that has ever happened to me. It happened a few months ago, on a night when I had some friends over at my apartment. It was a Saturday night, near New Year's Eve, so we were a bit loud, but nothing too crazy. We spilled out into the parking lot around midnight to set off some small fireworks. After the celebrations were done, we chatted for a bit and had a few more drinks. Then by 1 or 2 in the morning, the last of my friends had filtered out and gone home. So I went back inside. I honestly don't remember if I had locked the door or not. I just remember being tired and drunk out of my mind. I then crawled into bed and fell asleep with my clothes on.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are 2/4 of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
I didn't even get under the sheets. I just passed out pissed drunk. I started having a really weird, vivid dream soon after falling asleep. It had been a long time since I had a wet dream, though that's kind of what it felt like. Just a lot of stimulation down there. Like when it almost feels real and you're about to. But then, it got uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. It started to hurt a bit, and I'd never had a wet dream where it hurt. Slowly, I began to wake up. Yet the unwelcome sensation down there didn't dissipate with the dream. It got clearer. I opened my eyes, seeing nothing but darkness in my room, only able to focus on what was happening to my junk. I must have stirred or finally snapped out of it, because it suddenly stopped. I felt a bit of relief and started to relax again, hoping I could get some rest and avoid a nasty hangover. Then something worse happened. Still half asleep, I heard a zipper. Seconds later, before I could register what it was, I felt warm liquid drizzling onto my chest. The soaked section of my shirt quickly turned cold. Then the liquid splashed in my face and kept coming. My mouth was open from snoring, and the stream went straight down my throat and made me gag. The second I tasted it, smelled it, that foul saltiness, I knew what it was. Piss! All at once, my body revolted. I gagged again, heaving forward at the same moment my eyes shot open, letting the flow of piss pour into them. I started swinging and screaming, falling out of bed. Once on the floor, I looked around, desperately trying to figure out what the hell was going on. And that's when I saw him. It was a man that I had never seen before standing over me. His pants were undone, his parts spilling out, still spraying my unsuspecting body with piss. I shielded my face with my hands to little effect, and got out the only pleas I could manage.
Stop! Who are you?
Shh! It's okay. I know you.
What the hell? Cut that shit out!
Suddenly, All the confusion, fatigue, fear, and disgust washed away. Only one thing remained. The clear, undeniable knowledge that I had the upper hand in this situation. Because I was, in every sense of the term, the most pissed off person that had ever lived. And this guy was about to get his shit rocked.
Whoa! Chill! Chill! Shut up! I'll break your face, you freak! I do not consent! Get out!
Bro, if it'll make you feel better, you can pee on me.
I said get out!
All right, I'm leaving. Chill!
I managed to get that sick, perverted psycho out of my apartment, but not before he emptied his bladder all over me, my bed, and my room. I was equally disgusted, furious, and simply disappointed in the universe that this all happened to me in the first place. Luckily, I had everything I needed to clean myself up and report that freak to the police. Almost as soon as I had finished showering, cleaning my clothes and bedroom of hopefully all his fluids, the cops found him. Initially, I was hoping that I'd be able to get some kind of explanation, something more than this just being a purely random event. Maybe he was stalking us from the parking lot, trying to get revenge on me for making noise late at night. Maybe this guy was some kind of serial ball-fondling piss burglar, and I'd at least done my part to put an end to his reign of terror. Nope, nothing from the scumbag but silence. He just picked me out by random, because he thought he knew me from somewhere. Because he thought I'd be into the same depraved, non-consensual groping in golden showers as him. Who thinks like that? Do I just have to go about the rest of my life being the guy who got woken up by a stream of a stranger's piss going down my throat? Believe me, I've tried to use humor to cope with this. From my perspective, it hasn't helped. A man is facing charges in an alleged burglary in Miami, where the victim said he woke up to a man fondling him and urinating on him. Mikhail Rodriguez, 34, is facing charges including battery, burglary, and indecent exposure. The alleged incident happened at around 4 a.m. on Sunday at an apartment on Northwest 11th Street. As the burglar grabbed his clothes before he left, he said, "I know you." The victim gave a description of the suspect, and Rodriguez was found and taken into custody.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the Hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right, every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Rodriguez's court appearance, his defense attorney asked for a bond, noting that Rodriguez is an Air Force veteran, but the judge ordered him held without bond until his next court appearance.
A lot of people have been telling me I'm lucky I haven't died or gone to jail yet. I don't think luck has a single thing to do with it. The New York City jewelry business saved me from a whole lot of trouble. I don't mess with any of that shady shit. I do things right. Honesty keeps the people coming back to me because they know I'm 100% real. Every day I have to manage my anger issues, or I might crash out on the first person that asks for it. Everybody gets on each other's nerves constantly. It's a fact of life around here. I gotta deal with all types of customers, posers, and thieves. But there's one type of person I really can't stand, and it's some of the other jewelers in the city. Don't get me wrong, I respect rivalries. But there's a difference between fair competition and the kind of sneaky, conniving crap these rats get up to. They lie, cut, scam, and rip off every customer they can, making all the rest of us honest jewelers look like crooks too. There's a certain individual who's more guilty of this than anyone else. His lawyers are relentless, so I'll just call him the Scam, because that's what he is to his core. Our shops are close together in the Diamond District, and he takes full advantage of his proximity to my store to use my personal brand for his own gain. Time and time again, I've had people come up with something they claim they bought from me, only for them to later find out that it wasn't the same quality we advertised, or that the piece was completely fake. They asked me for a refund, and because I'm a good businessman, I work with them. I asked to see the receipt, and once I get a hold of that, I find out they never bought it from me in the first place. They bought it from the scammer. He knows people trust me, so he lies and says we're business partners selling the same stock, when in reality his shit is garbage. The first time it happened, I couldn't believe he had the balls to use my name while ripping someone off. I honestly thought it had to be a mistake, so I refunded it and said nothing, because I have a little something called integrity. Then it happened again, and again, and again. That slimy bastard would use my name anytime he wanted to rip someone off. I don't know how many people he scammed who never even realized it, but with each person that came to me with proof, my patience got thinner and thinner. When I tried to be reasonable with him, I was ignored and cast aside like the worthless crappy pedals from his store. He thought I was just gonna let it happen, let him tarnish my name, ruin my legacy. But for so long, I tried to keep my emotions together. But then, one of my most loyal customers came in after getting duped by the scammer. They were sold a bracelet that might as well have been made of tinfoil and yellow spray paint, and that rat charged them like it was 14 karat gold.
I think you'll find this one particularly dazzling. Platinum hands, mother of pearl face. And that adjustable, solid sterling silver chain makes this watch a steal at only $5,999.
It sure is beautiful. I just don't know if I can afford it, though.
No worries, madam. We offer payment plans with interest rates as low as 30%.
Where's my money? Where's my fucking money?
Oh, dear.
I said, where's my money, bitch?
VVS?
I-3? 14 karat? This is a piece of plastic you sold using my name! My fucking name!
Can I get a little help over here?
Get him away from me, please! Lying rat bastard piece of shit! Come here!
The last second, the scammer's cronies got a hold of me and pulled me back. They dragged me out of the store, saying I was lucky I hadn't hit him. Otherwise, I'd be going to jail. I was still pissed, but I knew what they were saying was true. I almost crossed the line. After a few minutes, I calmed down considerably.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Enough to go in and try talking to the man again. I knew he was just a scammer, but I was telling myself I needed to talk with him man to man. Screaming and fighting would get us nowhere. And at the end of the day, I had my customers' faith in me on the line. So I needed to do this right. There was still a scene when I approached the scammer the second time, but it was much calmer. Yet what did he do?
He spat in my face. I grabbed that son of a bitch and smacked him right before his bodyguard swarmed in all over me. I kept going for that rat, and he deserved it. The whole store turned into a goddamn brawl, and I was at the center, getting pulled away from my target, then beaten until I finally managed to break loose and get away.
When the dust settled, I found myself in the hospital. But you know my favorite part? The scammer finally found himself where he belongs. In jail. However, I'm still waiting on my money.
Rival jewelers in Manhattan's Diamond District erupted into a wild caught-on-camera brawl Friday afternoon in front of stunned shoppers, landing two business owners in cuffs and another in the hospital. Georgia Kay, 46, and his brother, 42. Were both busted for allegedly pummeling their competing jeweler, Trax NYC owner Maksud Agajani, during the violent clash inside their shared business space on West 47th Street. The melee unfolded after Trax, 39, stormed into their store at K Diamonds, accusing them of ripping off both him and his customers in a viral social media post. Security eventually let him out of the store, but in a second clip, the feud between the rivals reignited before the brother spits in Trax's face, sparking an explosive clash that led him swarmed by a pack of men and allegedly beaten down. Trax was taken to a hospital where he recorded another video showing off red marks around his neck, saying the rivals tried strangling him with his own chain. The Akay brothers were charged with assault. Years ago, I used to run with this kid, CJ. CJ was a complete and total crash out, a terrible influence, and all around just a shitty person. Despite all that, we were best friends. CJ loved getting into fights, rage baiting people, and beefing with everyone who ever spoke to him. He never did any of that to me, though, at least not seriously. Feeling like I was the exception made me way too confident in going along with him. As we got older, CJ's ideas got wilder. We started out just as a couple of clout-chasing punks, playing pranks on our classmates and skipping school. But then he introduced me to the street life. Once CJ got a car, we felt like we could do anything. We started selling, posting with masks and guns, flexing every way we were getting high. And there were a lot of ways. Nothing mattered to us except amusing ourselves. We would harass random people in public, record it and post it, and act like it was the funniest thing anyone had ever done. Really, that was just the beginning of the end. Like I said, CJ was a crash out, and constantly driving around meant he was constantly road raging. He hated slow drivers, pedestrians, and especially bikers, just because he had to move over a foot or two when they were riding on the shoulder. One day, we managed to score ourselves a bottle of liquor. We got wasted, swerving into cars and shouting at people, trying to make them road rage back at us. Then we saw a guy on a bicycle cruising down the shoulder. He was wearing a bright red shirt, probably trying to be more visible, thinking it would make him safer. But to CJ, it just made him a target. That's when CJ got the worst idea of his life.
Dude, you think I should hit that guy? Hell no, dude, they'll take your license. I never had a license, bro. I was just gonna give him a little tap anyway. Come on, man, don't do it. That's too far even for you. I swear, dude, look, just a little swerve. It'll look like an accident. I'm serious, dude, that's not funny. If it's not funny, then why are you smiling? What are you talking about?
Stop being a pussy and record it.
No way, dude.
Do it or I'll crash this bitch head on.
Fine, Jesus.
I was really hoping he wouldn't do it, that he was just messing with me. But we'd already been driving way under the speed limit to follow this guy for almost a full minute. CJ wasn't going to pass until I got my phone out and started filming. The second I pressed record, something changed. CJ got this insane look in his eye. Then he floored him. We raced toward the biker, but CJ wasn't going for a sideswipe anymore. We were heading straight for him. I tried to scream at him to stop, but my throat locked up. I just pointed the camera and watched. It happened in an instant. 1 second, the biker was in front of us. Then we just mowed him down. His body cracked the windshield and went flying over our heads. We ran the bike over like it was nothing. Then, all of a sudden, it was nothing but clear open road ahead of us. Immediately, CJ and I began laughing. He was absolutely manic, on top of the freaking world. I laughed too, but more out of reflex. I didn't know how to process what just happened, so all I could do was laugh. Deep down, though, I was mortified. Looking behind us in the side mirror, I saw the biker face down in the gutter. He wasn't moving. His body got smaller and smaller as we drove away, but he never moved. Not an inch. I even said something about it to CJ. I told him the guy was knocked out, even though I knew that probably wasn't the case. No, I felt certain about it. We had just killed him. At the time, I just kept laughing it off and going along with whatever CJ wanted to do. He didn't seem bothered by it at all. Not long after, he wanted to get lunch, so we stopped at McDonald's. We ate in the parking lot. The whole time, I kept telling myself I had imagined hitting the biker. That it wasn't real, that it couldn't be, that it was just some weird, scary dream. Of course, what we did eventually caught up to us. The biker we hit was found dead, and since CJ forced me to post the video on Snapchat, it was an open and shut case. Within 24 hours, we were both arrested. There was no use trying to fight the charge. I pled guilty, and so did CJ, but I remember him laughing in the courtroom when the judge made him face the facts. Personally, I'd be ashamed of this for the rest of my life. I regret it until the day I die. I'm still serving out my prison sentence, a term which many people have said is far from long enough. I tend to agree with them. The thing is,
I'm excited to get my life back one day, even if I'll never feel like I fully deserve it. But there's an issue. CJ and I will get out at the same time, and I know that Psycho Crashout is going to try and find me. He already ruined my life once. I can't let him do it again. This Crashout story was inspired by a case involving two young men who pleaded guilty to the murder of a retired police chief in Las Vegas. Jesus Ayala, 20, and Jameer Keys, 18, appeared for sentencing hearings on Tuesday in Clark County District Court. Authorities accused the pair of using a stolen car to intentionally hit 64-year-old Andreas Prost, the former chief of police for Bell, California, as he rode a bicycle in the Centennial Hills neighborhood. Police identified Ayala as the driver of the car and Keys as the passenger who filmed the incident. Las Vegas Metropolitan Police initially said the crash was a case of hit and run, but they later added murder charges after a video went viral.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the Hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
My world was destroyed, Crystal Prost, the widow of Andy, said. The defendants declined to comment during the sentencing. Investigators said they discovered that Ayala and Keys targeted multiple other victims before Prost was killed. They went on a destructive spree that morning, involving the theft of four cars and using them to hit a bicyclist who survived, as well as another driver. Ayala's defense team and prosecutors agreed to a sentence of 20 years to life. The plea agreement for Keys specified an 18-year-to-life prison term.
Everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the Hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.